Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'll be speaking with Nathan Brett, one of three directors at Real Estate Dynamics. Nathan is going to share with us his journey in the real estate industry. We're going to talk about the challenges he faced in growing a rent roll from 230 to 1,010 properties and how to build a faster, stronger, and more profitable rent roll business. But before we catch up with Nathan, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Consol, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.consol.com.au.
Have you ever seen those images on social media of what looks like someone using a device, whether it be an iPhone or an iPad or a computer, something like that? And they're actually, it looks like they're using their device to read someone's content, whether it's a blog post or a newsletter or an ebook or something like that. Well, the discovery I'd like to tell you about this week is an app where you can embed images of your content or previews of your content into devices like iPhones and iPads and things like that, and then use that image to promote your content out on social media. The app is called Placeit, P-L-A-C-E-I-T. And like I said, what you can do is create a preview of your blog post or your newsletter or your ebook, and then drag and drop that image into the template that Placeit provides you. So they have a whole library full of templates from iPhones and iPads, even Apple Watches, where you can embed your preview of your content into that device, and it looks like someone's actually reading your content. Now, if you're promoting that content out on social media, especially through paid advertising and things like that, this is a really neat way of standing out and not just having, you know, a standard graphic. We've been using it for our clients for quite some time, and it creates a huge difference in engagement. So I certainly encourage you to go and have a look at this. It may just help you stand out with the content that you're promoting. So go to placeit.net. And you can start using the app for free. You can start downloading images for free, but the resolution is quite low when you're downloading it for free. And you can then upgrade. I believe it's $8 per download where you can get a high resolution version of your image. So I certainly encourage you to check it out if you're looking for new ways to stand out on social media when you're promoting your content. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Nathan Brett, one of three directors at Real Estate Dynamics, an industry-leading property management training and consulting firm, and of course, one of our amazing sponsors here on Real Estate Pros. Nathan's career in real estate spans 21 years this year and has included a range of notable achievements, including being the owner of an award-winning agency that succeeded in achieving almost 350% increase in managements over a 10-year period. Today, as one of the three directors of Real Estate Dynamics, Nathan helps real estate business owners and their teams create high-performing and highly profitable rent roll businesses. My friend, soon to be yours, Nathan, welcome to the show.
G'day, Josh, and thanks for having me.
I've been looking forward to having this chat. It's been a while since we first spoke about it, so it's great to have you finally here. I've given our listeners a brief overview, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of Real Estate Dynamics.
Yeah, sure, Josh. As you said, my career has been 21 years in real estate. I've never sold a house. I was very fortunate to start when I was about 17 years old working part-time for a great guy called Brad Jackson. I worked as his assistant for a couple of years. And after that period of time, he went to a corporate role. And I moved on to being the assistant to the principal, which was wonderful, a great guy by the name of Tim Altaz. And long story short, mate, I worked as his assistant and got interested in our property management division. I was fortunate enough to be able to take a lot of Tim's calls and realise that we weren't doing a very good job in property management as a business. And it interested me because I could see the potential, I guess, in that business. And I could see that there was probably a better way to do it. So look, a long story short, I got into property management, I bought into the business, and I was sort of left with we had about 230 properties. We weren't doing a very good job at it. We hired our own business coach, Rose Kelly, who I'm very fortunate enough to work with now at Real Estate Dynamics, and we got serious about property management, and we grew that from 230 to 1,010 in 10 years.
Wow.
And in a nutshell, that's it, Josh.
Fantastic. And just, you mentioned that you've never sold a house, but I'm curious to know, how did that, working in a sales-driven office, how did that rub off on you in terms of what you were doing in the property management realm? Did it have an effect? And if so, to what degree do you think?
Look, absolutely, Josh. I mean, I really believe that property management is sales. Certainly there are roles that are more sales orientated than others. Business development and leasing goes without saying. But then there's still the operations of property management and people who are involved in that quadrant of property management, if you like. You know, they have to sell every day. Mm. They've got to sell landlords on having repairs and maintenance done. They've got to sell getting entry to properties to do routine inspections and a whole plethora of other activities. So really, in a nutshell, it is just sales, Josh.
That's a really good point. I think that's something that maybe a lot of property managers haven't really thought about before. We all are in sales, no matter whether they think so or not. I think they all work in a sales capacity. I think that's a great point. Let's take it to today at Real Estate Dynamics. Can you explain some of the processes around what you do in a coaching capacity and what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the coaching part of our business, Josh, what we tend to do is go and work closely with a number of businesses. And I guess what we do is we help them identify the sticking points and the symptoms of sticking points and put solutions around those. So every business goes through sticking points, and most business owners are certainly able to identify the symptoms of those sticking points. Sticking points might be that there's, you know, high turnover of property managers, could be low client satisfaction. It could be lack of growth, for instance, you know, where they're just managing roughly the same numbers for months, years on end. Mm. There's some example of some sticking points. So our job is really to go in and help them become unstuck in those areas.
Well, I'd love to loop back around in a moment and have a look at some of the stories that you've got from those experiences, both Rose and yourself, knowing you guys so well. But why should a real estate business owner pay any attention to their rent roll? Most parts of the country are experiencing a pretty buoyant sales market, and there's plenty of commissions flowing in. Why should a business owner pay as much attention, if not more, to their rent roll as they do to their sales department?
Well, it's a good question to ask, Josh, and I guess, you know, the net situation is they don't have to. I mean, there's nothing to say that you have to pay any attention to it. But I guess from a grassroots level, what's interesting is, and I'm sure most people who are listening today have an understanding that they're worth a lot of money. So, you know, typically rent roll businesses are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to many, many millions of dollars in some case. So that's one aspect. But the second aspect is that they can also be highly profitable businesses as well. And I guess within the coaching realm of the work that we do with clients, we are able to help unlock some of that potential through applying some efficiency and capacity models. Mm. So not only are they worth a lot of money, but you can actually make a lot of money, a lot of profit from them if they're run efficiently.
Mm. And let's have a look at the difference between the sales department and a rent roll for those who may not be paying any attention to a rent roll or just running a sales-only business. Nathan, can you explain at the end of, let's say, for example, a business owner decides to sell up one day or retire from the industry, what would be the difference typically in both of those assets to them to sell at the end of their career?
Yeah, look, absolutely, Josh. I mean, the rent roll business, you know, as I said before, it's often the case they're worth hundreds of thousands to many millions of dollars. So, you know, that's a considerable amount of money that a business owner can achieve from a rent roll business. Sales businesses, well, you know, it's hard to say, but often they're not worth a lot of money because there's really nothing tangible to sell at the end of the day, whereas rent rolls are a very tangible asset and as such, they're worth a lot of money.
Well, where do business owners fall down most, in your opinion? And feel free to share some of the data that you've found with your coaching clients.
Yeah, sure. I guess, you know, most business owners are very capable and very good at identifying symptoms. And when I say symptoms, I refer back to the sticking points that businesses go through. So when we go into an office, typically owners can identify the symptoms within their business. And I was in a business just the other day, and the owner had written two fool's cap pages full of symptoms that she felt were part of the rent roll business. So the symptoms are pretty easy to identify, I think. The problem, and you asked a question about falling down, is, well, what do you do with that information? Mm. And, you know, how can you actually diagnose what's causing those particular symptoms and then fix those particular problems so that the rent roll can grow or become unstuck? Mm.
And what are some of the sticking points you found in the coaching that you and the guys at Real Estate Dynamics are doing? What are some of the really, I guess, sobering experiences that you've had, or some of those? Let's just get specific about some of those sticking points.
Sure. Well, let me give you some examples. I mean, it's often the case that we might go into a business because they're not growing, or they've got a high turnover of staff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an example of sticking point, or they're not really making much money. They're not as profitable as they want to be. And so, yes, our job is to go in and help them become unstuck in those areas. Mm-hmm. And look at ways of fixing the turnover of staff and the constant turnover in some cases, or look at ways to be able to make the business more efficient so that they can grow, but they're confident to grow as well. Mm. And that's a big area. And there's a lot of businesses that we would speak with who are frightened to grow because they just can't see, you know, how it's possible with the current structure, for example, that they might have.
Well, I think a lot of people would resonate, the business owners that are listening would resonate, Nathan, with those particular sticking points. They're pretty well known. I don't think they're particular to any one area of the country. It's all over the place. But I'm curious to know, and knowing the process that Rose and yourself go through in a coaching capacity, mm-hmm. and that initial phase of doing a diagnostic of a business, can you break that down for our listeners who may not be familiar with how that looks and maybe share some examples of some of the more sobering experiences you've had through that diagnostic process?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, Josh. Well, let me give you an example. I was very fortunate enough to be invited out to dinner by one of our coaching clients a couple of weeks ago because they'd won a network award for growth. And about 8 months ago, we started working with that business. And within that business, I had a massive turnover of staff. And, you know, the business owner was all but in tears because things were so stressful, and the team members were actually in tears when we originally went in, you know. And the interesting thing is that when I remember putting my hand on the door of that office, and I instantly felt stress. You know, this energy permeates out there, and I could tell what we were faced with. And so, look, over a number of months, Josh, we sort of restructured the business so it was far more efficient. And we set up operating standards and really drove home some great processes into that business. And the reason that we went out for dinner is they won a network award for rent roll growth, which is great. And they've added 117 new managements to their rent roll in 6 months. And that's with one BDM and a highly efficient team behind them. So they're now in tears, but because they're delighted, not because they're stressed.
So just back at the start, you know, when everyone was in tears and, you know, the rent roll wasn't growing and staff were leaving, staff were coming and going, you know, what are some of the questions or some of the processes that you go through right at the start? And, you know, what are some of the results that you would get from those questions?
Yeah, absolutely, Josh. So we do ask each team member a bunch of questions. We really have to start with the people because, you know, to a large degree, we're a stranger to the business. And so what we do is we ask each team member a bunch of questions to find out, I suppose, common denominators of what they feel are working well and where they feel some of the sticking points might be. And then we look for common denominators. And what we often find then is the answer to those sticking points we can find in the data. So if we go into their trust accounting software, we will find often problems, the sticking points do indeed exist. For example, you know, in this particular business, they were swamped with phone calls. Each property manager on average per day was receiving 66 incoming calls on average per day. And that, so it just wasn't possible to get ahead with that volume of incoming inquiry. But when we broke it down a little bit further, what we found, for example, was one of the areas that they were getting a lot of phone calls about was repairs and maintenance. You know, landlords weren't sure whether jobs had been done, tenants were following up different things. Mm. And of course, that data we were able to find in the trust accounting software. So when people are telling us what the issue is and we can go and find where the problem is and put a solution around it, that no longer becomes a sticking point for that business. So that's an example. And I guess with that particular business, we did that in every operational area and we've been able to reduce their incoming communication by landlords and tenants by over 87%. And this business is actually punching out all the communication to landlords and tenants. And I think as a result, they've turned themselves into an attraction rent roll business.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. I love that old saying, and I think we all do because it's so true. And, you know, when the property managers are swamped with phone calls, it's hard to just stop for a moment and go through the process that you and the guys at Real Estate Dynamics go through. I think it's critical to get a third party in to have a look at, you know, those processes and slow down to speed up, as they say, Nathan. And I think it's really important for, you know, to get an unbiased opinion on how your business is running. What are some of your best success moments? You mentioned the rent roll that just won the award. Can you tell us about some of the businesses you've seen who have turned the rent roll around, and what did that mean for the staff and the business owner?
Yeah, look, absolutely, Josh. You know, I mean, success is really, I think, relevant to the sticking points that they're experiencing when we first go in. So, yes, you know, that's a very good case of rent roll growth. I think anyone would be reasonably happy with 117 new managements in 6 months from one BDM. But late last night, for example, I got a call from another one of our coaching clients whom we've just started working with. And one of the sticking points for them was leasing. And what they identified was that, you know, houses weren't getting rented quickly enough and therefore they had some anxious owners. And we also worked out that they're in a marketplace where the rents are declining at the moment. So we've put some processes and some standards and we've shortened the leasing process and we've done a bit of work with them in relation to that. And then they've gone and done the good work and the actions that are needed to succeed in leasing. So the business owner rang me last night and said, Nathan, we've actually just been wandering around for the last half an hour in amazement that, you know, the number of lettings we have on the leasing control board and the fact that there's virtually nothing left on the rent list, like it worked. And so, you know, a lot of people who are listening might think, well, that's leasing 101. And I understand that. But for them, it's a massive success and it's going to be one of many.
Baby steps.
Baby steps, indeed. Yeah.
Well, Nathan, I want to turn the spotlight now onto you and moments of your career that have made you who you are today and where you are today. We often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate, but here on this podcast, we want to take it down to the ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd fail? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Just look, I mean... I think everyone's career in real estate is a series of debits and credits to the success factor, but hopefully you have a lot more credits and debits. But look, I do remember when I'd first started in property management, as I said, we didn't have a very good rent roll. I was very keen to change that. We had the great help of our business coach. And the one thing that I realized was that we didn't have a very transparent business, and the people that we had in that business were scared of transparency. And when we broke the barriers down, if you like, I remember, and I think it was a Thursday afternoon, I can't really remember why I remember that, but I do. And everyone resigned. So, you know, we didn't have many property managers at that time, but they, Matt, was the, you know, the great escape. And it just didn't suit them to move forward. And that same afternoon, I had a phone call from a tenant customer of ours who had experienced their own landlord dressing up as a fairy and breaking into the rental property that they were renting from her. Now, clearly she wasn't terribly mentally well, you could argue. But, mate, I've got to tell you, that afternoon I really did question whether I'd made the right decision and the right career choice.
I bet. Well, knowing your story so well, Nathan, I think it's a really fascinating journey that you've been on throughout your career, and particularly towards the end of when you sold the rent roll. Can you share the story with our listeners of what you did and really what was going through your mind at that sort of pinnacle moment where you had reached 1,000 properties and what happened from there?
Yeah, look, absolutely, Josh. So when we got to about 500, I got really clear about what we could achieve and what I wanted out of the business. And the reason I chose 1,000 as a number is because all the data that we were measuring at that time supported the fact that it could be highly profitable at that time. I knew what the value would be roughly, although that change had increased, thank goodness. And, you know, I knew that we would be in a highly efficient position as a rent roll business. So that's really the reason that I chose that number. But in all honesty, as we approached the 1,000 mark, and I clearly remember it well, when we're getting very close, I could feel my foot slipping off the gas. And that's very different to pulling your foot off the gas. Mm. So in hindsight, you know, I do often wonder, because that goal of 1,000 had been met, you know, it's all or set, I should say. I mean, it's almost like going on holidays, you know, when you're terribly efficient just before you go on holidays, the most efficient you'll probably ever be. But then a lot of people get sick on holidays because they've used so much energy to get there. And I think in my career, that was probably the case. You know, my energy was depleting at 1,000 properties. And I really believe that that's because of the goal that I had set, which is really neither here nor there now, but it's interesting to note. So at 1,000, I went on a holiday. I love to travel, and I went over to Alaska with a bunch of friends of mine. And it was at that holiday I made the decision that the best thing that I could do for the business and the best thing that I could do for me was to sell it. So upon returning from the holiday, I caught up with my business partner, who I was very fortunate enough bought the business from me.
Fantastic. Fantastic. How did that feel when you landed back in the country and you thought, yep, my time is up?
Look, it felt really weird because I hadn't known anything else. But what I did know is that I needed a really big break. So I actually had a year and a half off work, and I went traveling through Europe for a year, which was a wonderful experience, but also a scary one because I had no idea what I was returning to.
How old were you at the time?
I was 33.
Wow.
At that time.
And you just sold a business at the age of 33.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Mm. So including GST.
let's leave that alone. But let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. And can you tell us a story? Maybe that may be it, but is there another story that sticks out of a moment in your career where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you of a moment that stands out. What happened? What was going through your mind, and how did it make you feel?
I do recall that, moment in time, if you will, quite clearly as well. And I think as we got better at property management, and we were delivering a superior level of service, in my opinion, at that time, the referrals started to flow in, Josh, which was, it's unbelievable. And you know, really, the vast majority of our new business was coming from people that we dealt with, which tenants, landlords, contractors, the whole kit and caboodle, which is lovely. And that's what you would expect, I suppose, from a growing business. But what really was a moment, a defining point for me, was we started to get referrals from people who had never done business with us. And in this day and age, when we're all a little bit reluctant to refer anyone through fear of it not working, this was an amazing time in business where, you know, you'd often get a phone call from someone and, you know, we would always ask the question, may I ask how you heard about our business? And, you know, the person on the other end of the phone would say, well, Julie said I ought to do business with you. And then we'd pry a little bit more, only to find out that Julie had never been a landlord or a tenant of ours, but she had heard that we were good at what we did. So that was a real feather in our cap, I think, Josh.
Well, take us to today. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are working on at Real Estate Dynamics that's getting you fired up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, we're a business that's growing. There's myself, Paul, and Peter as the business owners, and I think we've got a team of 21 currently and growing. And, you know, our job primarily is to help businesses, rent roll businesses, buy, build, leverage, and sell. So, you know, we do help businesses through the complete life cycle of their rent roll business. And at the moment, we're growing quite quickly, which is wonderful. So there's a huge amount of energy and a huge buzz around the office, which is wonderful to be a part of, Josh.
In regards to, I guess, the property management space in particular, what are you finding? Has there been a shift in the last 12 months or a couple of years or more recently as to what rent roll business owners or property managers are looking for in terms of support, whether it's coaching, training, you know, products, that sort of thing? Has there been a shift?
Look, I think that there has, Josh. What we're experiencing in the coaching side of our business is that there are a large number of businesses who would really like the one-on-one attention and to be able to work with someone on a consistent basis who can make measurable changes in their business. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe training is very important in our industry, but largely it's solely dependent on the leadership in the business. So, for example, when people come to training, what I have noticed is that there's a larger number of business owners coming with their teams to training, which is wonderful, because I suspect that those businesses, what they'll do is they'll go back and implement it. But as a leader, if I just sent all my people to training and didn't do anything about it when they returned, I just don't see the value in it, Josh, I've got to say.
Well, Nathan, thanks for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a study conducted by Pew Research, which found that 52% of online adults now use two or more social media sites. A significant increase from 2013 when it stood at only 42%. I think it's a reminder to consider your marketing mix and if you're actually engaging with your clients and prospects on the channels they prefer. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Nathan, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
It's really difficult for me to name one person, Josh. Look, I've been very fortunate enough to have some amazing mentors in sales leadership, property management, business generally. So I'm very grateful to all of those people who've helped me along in my career. But I would have to say, outside my family and friends who've certainly supported me through this great career, mate, it's the people I've worked with that are the most inspiration to me. And I've been fortunate enough to have great teams to work with, and I'm inspired on a daily basis by them. It's a wonderful feeling.
What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Look, I really love to cook. So I find, entertaining in my home, having great family and friends over is wonderful. I really enjoy that. And I also enjoy swimming. So I'm part of a master's swimming club. I can often be found in the pool or the ocean, which is probably good considering the amount of food that I eat. So it goes hand in hand, I would suggest.
Perfect, perfect. Nathan, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Again, very difficult to point out one. I've got a huge library and I love my library of books, but I just find that if you enjoy reading and if you enjoy learning, books almost find you, Josh. Mm. For example, over the years I've needed to brush up on salesmanship, I've needed to brush up on leadership, and it's amazing how these books just almost come to you. Mm. Recently, I can just give an example of a recent book that I've read and been delighted with. I wanted to learn a little bit more about stamping out distractions and focus. And it was actually a friend of mine gave me the book when we're on a plane together going somewhere and said, read this. And it's The One Thing by Gary Keller.
Love it.
And
great book.
It's a brilliant book. Yeah. And books just find you if you're open to learning, I think.
Do you have one in particular that you you could say stands out above all the rest?
Well, I suppose the one that I've certainly passed on to all my team members over the years is one that you've mentioned on your show quite a lot, Josh, and that's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
You know, it's still as relevant today as it was when it was published in, I think it was 1936. So that would have to be, up there with the best of them, I would say.
No doubt. Well, but do you have a favourite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Yeah, well, we do. I mean, I think like most businesses, we've got all of the gear, for want of a better term. So, you know, our people can work from anywhere, which is great because we often do. But, Josh, I've got to tell you, in our line of work, our favourite technology, and mine particularly at the moment, is Boeings and Airbuses. We jump on a lot of planes every day, every week, and certainly every month of the year. And, you know, I've got to tell you, I'm still fascinated that we can do a talk in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, for example, one morning, and then be coaching a rent roll business on the north side of Brisbane the same day. So it's a really important technology for us.
Well, Nathan, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Sure. Josh, I think it's fear, to be honest with you, you know, whether that be fear of failure, fear of growth. You know, we've spoken to businesses who have a fear of growing, fear of picking up the phone and speaking to some winners in the industry who've done it and done it very well, fear of mediocrity, fear of not setting goals, fear of losing staff, fear of getting help. I would have to say the common denominator is fear.
And what's your advice for them to overcome that fear, in your opinion?
Well, I think like any phobia is get over it and get on with it. I mean, if you had a fear of flying, for example, I think the only way to fix that is to fly more. I can't see any other way but to get over it.
Well, there's a great video that we both know quite well, Nathan, by the guys at Saturday Night Live did, the Stop It video. So we might link that up in the show notes for everyone to watch. Very much to your point there.
Yes, it's a good video to highlight getting over it.
It's a great one. Well, Nathan, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Yeah, sure, Josh. I don't know that it's such a success quote, but a mantra that, that I've always used in business, and that's look after the people and the money will look after itself. Now, I'm not suggesting that you take your foot off the gas with keeping an eye on your finances, but if you go in with a helpful attitude and your whole business is doing their best to help people, it is amazing where the money comes from.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Nathan has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Nathan Brett. Well, Nathan, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the stories you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Real Estate Dynamics?
Sure, Josh. Well, anyone's welcome to give me a call. My mobile number's 0419 762 562, or they can contact me through our website, which is realestatedynamics.com.au.
Nathan, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.